Lord, your word says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And Lord, we come and we humble ourselves before you. And we say, King of glory, come. Pray that you would anoint your word, Lord, as it's read, as it's sung, as it's declared. Lord, as Rich plays the prelude and we prepare our hearts to worship. Lord, we just pray you would breathe. Spirit of God, we just welcome you in this house. Lord, I release glory in this house. I release glory among your people. And Lord, come, open our eyes to see more of you than we've ever seen before. Open our eyes, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Roger's going to read the non-bold print, and then we will read the bold print. And it's taken from Psalm 33, 1 through 9, in verse 12. Roger's going to start. Joe got a good report. He still has to have chemo, that good report as well. So, Father, we come. And, Lord, we thank you that you are a God who answers prayer. You are a God who sees that you hear. James exhorts us that the prayer of a righteous man, righteous woman, it avails much. And, Lord, we just thank you that you're a God who hears. We prayed for rain on Sunday, God, and we had rain. So we just thank you. Lord, we pray for Gordy that he would continue to heal up well. Lord, we thank you that the pain is going away almost daily. And Jesus, we pray that he would heal up, no infection. And Lord, we just thank you and we honor you for that good report. And we just bless him and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Mary Winkleman, Alan and Fran's daughter, Laura, Lord, Laura's mother-in-law. And Jesus, we just ask your mercy to be upon Mary. We pray peace and comfort to be upon that family as they say goodbye. And Lord, we pray that her passing from this world into the next, Lord, we just ask for peace there in Jesus' name. Comfort, Lord. Be a shield and a guard all around them, Lord. We pray for Alan, Lord, in the death of his brother. God, we just pray your peace there and, God, mercy in Jesus' name. Lord, we honor you for Bob and Carolyn Dial's granddaughter, Casey, and the miraculous recovery, Lord, that she's had from that brain aneurysm. We give you all glory, all honor, all praise for that, Lord. Thank you. And, Lord, we pray for Casey's children, Jesus, that they would have just your continued peace to be upon them, that they would have no trauma-related issues as they saw what happened to their mama. And, Lord, we just pray peace on those children in Jesus' name. We pray strength, and we bless Bob and Carolyn, Lord, with strength. And we just thank you, God, for what you've done there. Lord, we thank you for Bonnie Williams. Lord, we prayed last week that her liver enzymes would stay good, and they did. And, Lord, we prayed that she would be able to up the targeted medicine, and she was able to do that this week. And we give you all glory, all honor, all praise for that, Father. And, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would continue to keep those liver enzymes down, and Lord, that they could continue to use that targeted treatment to the full dose. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in the healing Bonnie, and Lord, we just ask your continued mercy on that. We pray peace on Jerry, God, as he walks through this with her. And Lord, often at times it's harder for those of us that walk through that with a loved one. And so, God, we just pray, we release peace, the shalom of God on Jerry in Jesus' name, and Lord, bless him. We pray, God, for Norm Hill and the loss of his dad. And, Lord, we just thank you for your promise that blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And, Lord, bless Norm in Jesus' name. Comfort him and his family. Lord, we pray for Don Barrett that you would bless and heal him in Jesus' name. All pain, all inflammation, all issues in his body, we just speak alignment right now to his body in Jesus' name. Peace on him, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for baby Henry Emling. And Lord, we thank you for all of the answered prayers on behalf of that baby. And we just remember those and we thank you, God. And that song, Here I Raise My Ebenezer, based on scripture, a rock of remembrance. We remember your faithfulness this far. Lord, we remember all of those answered prayers on behalf of Henry. And Lord, you haven't brought him this far to let us down, to let that baby down. And so Lord, we just ask healing on Henry, that whatever the issues are that they think may be seizures, Lord, we just ask healing to come on that young man, on that toddler, or he's almost a toddler now, Lord, that there would just be whatever issue last weekend with the episodes that he has, the root cause of that, God, we just ask peace and healing to come. Mercy for the doctors, wisdom for the doctors, peace on baby Henry, the tooth that's coming in sideways. God, we just ask as he sees the cleft palate dentist, God, just give him wisdom, her wisdom, whoever, it could be a woman too, Lord, but just bless them and Lord, healing on baby Henry in Jesus' name. We pray for Janet's brother Joe. Lord, we thank you that the report came back that the cancer hasn't spread and it's contained. Pray, Jesus, that we just pray healing on Joe. Anoint that chemo, Lord, to kill and shrink that tumor in Jesus' name. Bless, Lord. We pray for Danny Carter, who grew up here and just received word, Lord, that he died of a heart attack. And Lord, we pray you comfort that family in Jesus' name. We pray for the fire, Lord, that happened here in DeCoin on Wells Street, God. We ask your peace, your provision, your mercy on that family. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We praise you. And Lord, on this day where we remember our Independence Day, Lord, Paul exhorted us to pray for all of our rulers and authorities. And so, Father, we pray for President Biden and his team, Jesus, that you would give them wisdom in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for all of our governing authorities, God, that you would bless them, that they would be men and women who honor you, who fear you, God. Lord, if you can take you can take the Apostle Paul, Saul, in the book of Acts, who had been a former murderer of Christians, and he can encounter you, God. You can do that to our most wicked, vile leaders. Lord, you're able to do that. And so, Lord, we just pray that they would turn to you, that they would bow the knee, and they would turn to you. And, Lord, that they would be men and women who honor you, who fear you. We thank you, Lord, that nothing is impossible for you. Again, we honor you. You are the Holy One, and you are the true One. We pray the prayer, Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, we thank you for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. And thank you, God, for faithful givers in Jesus' name. And Lord, we offer our offering to you as worship. Bless it, Lord, and use it for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. We stand and sing the doxology. before the lag started, and I just want to do it here. Just want to thank Kathy Beard over the last year and a half. Thank her all the time, but she's been the one that's initiated all of the gifts, all of the little cards that you've received through this whole lockdown. She's had a team that's worked with her, so I'm sure she'd thank other people, but I just really appreciate Kathy and all of her little helpers. So thank you, Kathy. We appreciate you. I struggled a little bit today. It's rare that a Sunday, the 4th of July, falls on a Sunday. And in years past, I tend to kind of shy away from patriotic things on the 4th of July, not because I don't love our country, but because of the warnings that I see in the Old Testament, especially of honoring your country above the Lord. And sometimes I feel like there's a line there in church, and so I'm kind of like, I don't want to fall into idolatry. It's easy to do. But then there's also, with what's going on in our country, that we're blessed. We're a blessed nation, and we don't need to be ashamed of who we are. And in Revelation 21, it talks about all of the nations coming in, and it says in Revelation 21 that they bring the of the nations into heaven with them, and that we don't need to be ashamed of who we are. We need to repent of our sins, but we don't need to be ashamed of who we are. And so I do honor our country, and I'm thankful for this land. And some of you have gone overseas as well. I was in the Soviet Union in 1991, right before it fell, and we are, as many problems as we have as a nation, y'all, we're blessed. We are blessed. And so I'm incredibly thankful for our country. And we do pray for God to bless America. I'm going to talk more about that. Continue this morning on the theme of Holy Spirit. And we've talked about Holy Spirit as the promise. We've talked about Him as presence. And today I really want to talk about Him as power. There's a fascinating little scripture in Acts chapter 19. When Paul gets to Ephesus, he and his team, they come there and they say, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" And they say something fascinating back to Paul. And they said, "We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Wow. And yet, as I think and meditate on that, I think for some, in the United Methodist Church, I think for some in the church across our land, they would ask the same question. Who is the Holy Spirit? Because we don't know, we haven't been taught about who He is. We tend to leave Him out, and we know the Father Almighty, we know Jesus, but we tend not to know much about Holy Spirit. And as I've been preaching, He's God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And He wants to be intimately involved in our lives. And that's what it means to be born again. Not only that we're saved, but I'm going to talk about this next week. What does it look like to walk in the Spirit? And that He's our friend. He's our paraclete. He's the one who comes alongside. So I want to unwrap that a little bit more. We didn't even know there is a Holy Spirit. I don't want any of you, when the time comes that I leave here, someday, I don't want you to say, when you get up to heaven, you know, well, people never told us anything about the Holy Spirit. I want you to know about Him, because He's a gift. He's a gift. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, I give You my nervousness, which is the technical difficulties that have gone on today. I feel a little bit nervous. Lord, I just lift that up to You. I'm cognizant of time this morning, and I just lift that up to You. Lord, I thank You for this word that You've given to me. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that You would come, that You would fulfill, Lord, Your purpose for what You want to do today. King of glory, come. Open our eyes, open our ears, anoint me, God. Pray we'd preach without intimidation, but with power and love and sound mind. Guide us into truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts 1:8. Jesus, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Talked about that word last week. It's the word where we get dynamite. purpose. It means power. It means might. It means miracles. It means just extraordinary power, extraordinary might. And early on in the Old Testament, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, in Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, in the book of Judges, that word is used primarily to mean it's a military word. And if any of you served in the military, Army, Marines, Air Force, you served in the military, when in the military terms, when you talk about companies, that's military. That's the Army getting together, and you move in contingents. You move in companies. And that's what that word is primarily used, especially in the book of Numbers. I love it in the book of Judges. Remember Gideon? Gideon was, God really wanted to use Gideon, but he was pretty fearful. When God comes to him and he says, "Hello, mighty warrior." And Gideon's all afraid. I love it. God sees beyond our weakness, and he sees us for who we are. He sees us for what we can be. He says, "Mighty warrior." That's our word, dunamis. So and for me, when I look at how that word is used in the New Testament, it's such a beautiful illustration of the kingdom of God and who we are when we become Christians. It's more than just nodding our head and coming to church one day a week and doing what we want. No, we've been enlisted in the army of God. And he wants to come through us to bring his glory, to bring his kingdom. In John 14, chapter 12, Jesus says something that's startling, absolutely startling. And I've sat through a lot of classes. I had 3 systematic theology classes when I was in seminary. I've read a lot of books, and it's amazing what happens with this particular scripture. John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." Let that sink in just a second. Jesus himself said, and he's talking to his disciples, he's talking to us, and he said, "You're going to do greater works than I do." Greater works. Say what, Jesus? I've sat through classes that it's amazing the hermeneutical and exegetical gymnastics that some people will try to do to try to explain that away. Well, Jesus didn't really mean that. No, he didn't really mean more. That's not really what Jesus meant. Well, and you listen to what they say and how they try to explain it away, it's ridiculous. Listen again. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he or she do, because I'm going to the Father." I want you just to remember that. That's going to be kind of the frame of what I'm going to say today. Jesus said to his disciples, to you, that we can do what he did. And we can do greater works than him. What? How is that possible? And you take that statement and you say, okay, Jesus, that's a pretty startling statement. Does the rest of the Bible back that up? Does it? Yeah, let's just take a quick scroll through the beginning of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." God, there was a miraculous sign and wonder. If that were to happen today and we heard a sound of a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire, we'd be like, whoa, that isn't like anything we've ever seen before. So it was with them. And they began, God gave them gifts. They began declaring the wonders of God. Peter gets up, verse 14. Acts chapter 2, that Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Israel, Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. And he begins preaching. This man who had denied Jesus, but the Holy Spirit came on him in miracles, signs, and wonders, and gave him great boldness to stand before the people that had crucified Jesus, who he had been afraid just a couple months before. He'd been afraid, but he was changed when the Holy Spirit came upon him. He preaches his sermon. And thousands of people became Christians that day. Acts 2:41. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day 3,000 souls. Did it continue? Yes, it did. Acts chapter 3. Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray, as they had always done. They had passed this man many, many times, the gate called Beautiful. There's a man there who'd been lame from birth, and he's begging. And Peter and John that day, they look at him, and they say, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give." But what I have, I give to you. Y'all, the same power that was in them is in us. Paul says that in Ephesus, that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you. If you believe in Jesus, that is who you are. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus and Christ, get up. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And he takes that man by the hand, and that man jumps up and starts leaping and praising. Jesus said, "You're going to do the works that I do, and greater works than these." And we see that in Peter and John. And it just continues through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5, verse 12, there is awe. There are people being healed. There are people that are being delivered. There are people that are being saved. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Now many signs and wonders were occasionally done, were sometimes done. No. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus says, "You're going to do what I do, and greater works than these." There's been a lot of debate, a lot of theological debate on the greater works than these. Does it mean we're going to do things greater than, like, more magnificent than Jesus? Or does it mean the multitude, just the number, because of all of the whole army of Christ doing it? I'm not sure. But miracle signs and wonders. What's a sign? What's a wonder? I don't know. But I would think that's pretty limitless, y'all. Greater works, Jesus said. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You have to ask the question, well, okay, this is where we would go in theology classes. Well, okay, this happened then, but why aren't we seeing it now? And so we take the scripture and we bring it down to our level. Say, okay, well, since we're not seeing it, therefore, it must not be true. whoa, wait a second, we don't do that to Scripture. We don't do that. Just because our experience, we don't see it, doesn't mean it's not true. When you look at what's happening in Brazil, you look what's happening in China, you look what's happening in South America, in Africa, y'all, this stuff is happening. Why are they seeing it and we're not? I'm going to talk about that in a minute. We have to be really, really, really careful that we don't let our reason, that we don't let our experience, that we don't let our arrogance think, well, that's not going to happen here because it's not reasonable. Never seen it before. Even in the Gospels, Jesus could not do miracles where there was unbelief. Part of my purpose today is to feed you guys and give you faith that this is real, that this can happen. And it's so exciting to see some of the healings that are taking place right now. Gordy, and it's like you might think, well, the doctors did that. Well, who made the doctors? You know? Y'all, God's a healer. And I'm going to go after it. I'm having a flare today, lymphedema flare. I was up a lot last night because I was just hurting. And I'm like, and it's frustrating. It's like, Lord, I want you to heal me. But because you're not healing me the way I want to on my timetable, does that mean you don't heal? Absolutely not. I'm going after it. I'm going after it for you. I'm going after it for myself. And the Apostle Paul, this is kind of my modus operandi of healing. The Apostle Paul had an issue. And it says that he asked the Lord for 3 days, or three different times, Lord, take this away. And God says to him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I'm going after healing. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for people, and I'm going to pray for myself until I hear that from the Lord. Unless he tells me otherwise, I'm going for it. Because Jesus said, you're going to do what I do, and you're going to do greater things than these. And that's who we are, people. That is your inheritance. That's what God, that's what Jesus came to do. We're not seeing these things today, I think, because of unbelief. We just don't believe it can happen. But I also think we're not seeing some of these things today because of sin and because of idols in our life. I had there was a tension this week because in my homiletics, my preaching classes, I've been trained to try to keep my sermons tight, try to make them very, 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 very clear. And I don't want to preach more than one sermon. I have too many different ideas going. And I had that this week. In your newsletter that you got this week, I posted that letter on Facebook. One of my favorite studies I've ever done was on the Hebrew word trust. And I actually preached that sermon here last 4th of July weekend. And that little Hebrew word trust, betach, means to rely on, to trust, to rely on without suspicion. And I probably did that study, 7 or 8 years ago. And I've never forgotten it because I was so deeply convicted. Because I realized when I did that, how much of my life do I have a suspicion about God? God, you're really not going to answer it this time. And there was always a hint, not always, but a lot of times, just a hint of suspicion in my relationship, in my trusting of God. And I've repented of that, and I continue to repent of that. Lord, I'm so sorry. It's like having a best friend or a husband that, or a wife or, you know, that you don't really trust. That's not good. God wants us to trust in him and rely on him fully. And so it's been deeply convicting. So I had that. I couldn't get that word, that study on trusting God out of my mind. But then I also had dunamis and what we've been studying. And both of those, I'm like, God, I can't preach two different sermons. What is going on here? And as I began to pray, I was like, wait a second. I see it, God. Sometimes we're pretty thick. I see the connection. Because oftentimes, what we feel like is mighty in our lives, that's what we put our reliance in. So I began to look back through the study that I did in the book of Psalms with that Hebrew word trust. And I found, let's see, one, two, three, four, five things that we trust in, that we put our might, that we think our might, our confidence is in that. And all of those things, you all, are a hindrance to the power that God wants to use through us. The first one, what are things that we think are mighty and in which we put our trust? The first one, trusting in military might. Trusting in military might. We see that repeatedly in the Old Testament. You see that repeatedly through the book of Psalms. When we put our trust, one of the Psalms says, we don't trust in chariots or horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Israel got in trouble when they trusted in their military might. They failed every single time when they thought they were strong, when they thought they could do it without the Lord. And when we trust in our military other than the Lord, y'all, it's going to let us down. Psalm 33, verses 16 through 17. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might, it cannot rescue. If we're trusting in our army, in our military, and that alone to save us, y'all, it's not enough. You just have to look through history to see that. Kingdoms fall throughout history, and we have to trust in the name of the Lord our God. Our military might alone is not going to save us. Second thing we trust in is trusting in powerful leaders. Again, you just look at throughout history, people that have charisma, people that are good looking, those are the people that, you know, tend to get elected or tend to get elevated. But how often in history does that turn out well? When you elect the charismatic leader, when you elect the good looking person, but they don't have any character and they have nefarious plans in their spirit. I want to look just one quick story. 1 Samuel chapter 9. God did not want Israel to have a king because he wanted to be their king. But Israel's looking around at all the other nations and they said, well, they have a king. We want what they have. God concedes. He didn't want to because he knew it was going to be trouble. But he conceded. And Samuel goes, and if you have your Bibles, flip really quickly to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 9. There was a man of Benjamin, getting down to verse 2, 1 Samuel 9 verse 2, and he had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. So he had might, he was good looking, but that did not turn out well. Saul was not a man after God's own heart. He was after his own agenda. He wasn't trusting in the Lord, and God removed him. And in 1 Samuel, if you flip over a couple more chapters to 1 Samuel chapter 16, God tells Samuel to go anoint someone else. 1 Samuel 16. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul since I've rejected him from being king? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, for I've provided for myself a king among his sons. Skipping down to verse 6, he comes. Jesse calls his sons. When they came, he looked on Eliab, the oldest, and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees, looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on his heart. And they bring before all of the sons, and God's like, nope, 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 nope. And Samuel says to Jesse, well, do you have any other sons? He's like, yeah, the youngest, but he's out tending sheep. Just a kid. That better is in David. And God says, that's him. That's him. God does not look on our outward appearance. He looks on our heart. We can't put our trust in powerful leaders. This is a big one. Third thing is we trust in our wealth. We trust in our wealth. Psalm 49. Talking about those who are going to stumble. The psalmist says, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their riches, those are going to fall. Deuteronomy, I think, is one of the most powerful warnings outside the Gospels of Jesus himself. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 8. God's talking about the danger of wealth and what can happen if we become wealthy and how we can forget God when we get wealthy. And he says this, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. When we start getting money, we start thinking, well, it's because I'm smart. It's because I made that really good investment. It's because I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and we make it about us. And God's like, you need to be careful, because it's God who enables you to get money. You don't do that on your own. That's a gift and a blessing from God. And there are more warnings in the New Testament that Jesus taught about money than any of the other things. And it's not money itself, it's the love of money. It's the love of money. Jesus said this in Matthew 19. Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Why is that? Because when we get wealthy, we tend to think it's all about us. Our focus is on ourselves. Our focus is on what we do. And Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. It's really hard. It's not impossible. But it's hard for a wealthy person to come with humility before the Lord and say, Lord, everything I have is yours. And I give it to you. Because we tend to hold on to our stuff, hold on to our things. And Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth, but lay for yourself treasures in heaven. We need to not get so focused here that we forget to love one another, as I talked about last week, and to let the glory of God come through us. Military might, powerful leaders, wealth. We trust in ourselves. That was my big one. I come from a family of very strong men. My dad is the oldest of five, and they were dirt poor growing up. And when I was born, I was the only girl. Oh, that's not true. I had one cousin that was older, but then all my dad's sons had all of these boys. So I just grew up around men, just grew up around them. And just not because they were men, but I just kind of grew up with just this, I got to do this. I got to be strong. I can't show any weakness. And I was tried to be really, 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 really strong as a teenager in my 20s. You do that for very long, you realize you can't do it. And the Lord allowed humility, brokenness to come into my life. Learned the hard way that I can't do it. I need other people. I'm still in the process of learning. Trusting in yourself, you're going to fall and you're going to fail because you can't do it. You can't do it. spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Jesus picks up on that theme of a feast, a banquet, and people coming and getting what their deepest desires of their heart. He picks up on that in Luke chapter 14. And he tells a parable that the feast has been laid. People have been invited, and yet people are not coming. Luke chapter 14. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For one of and then he tells a parable in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 16. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at that time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Y'all, what that's talking about is it's talking about the time we're living in now. God has called each one of us to come. Each one of us to come and feast at his banquet and be filled and get filled up and have life. Have the deepest longings of your heart. Get us cleaned up from all of our sin. Get grounded and rooted in love. And he's called each one of us to come. But so many of us are making excuses. I'm too busy. I don't want to do that. I've got better things to do. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and blind and lame. How many of you feel that way in the spirit? You might feel crippled. You might feel like, Lord, I don't see you well enough. You might feel lame. This world has beaten you down. You all, that's us. That's us. And the servant said, sir, what you've commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. That's God's heart for you. That's God's heart for our nation. He's calling us back. He wants us to come. We have filled our lives with other things. We filled our lives with lust. We filled our lives with pleasure. We filled our lives with all of these other things other than the Lord. And the Father is saying, come. I want you to come. I want you to be filled. I want you to know my love. I want you to encounter me. Come. Quit trusting in these other things and come. Come to me. Men are not going to save you. Your country isn't going to save you. The Democrats aren't going to save you. The Republicans aren't going to save you. Donald Trump isn't going to save you. Only I am going to save you. I am the Lord, and I want you, and I need you to come. You all, the King of Glory, Jesus, is coming, and there's a glory getting ready to be released on the earth that's greater than anything that's ever happened. The Luke chapter 14 is going to be fulfilled to a new level. Jesus saying, what I have done, you can do, and greater things than these. And he's looking for willing vessels. And will we come? All we have to do is come and say, Lord, I need you. Fill me up. King of Glory, come through me. Only he is our Savior. Only he can do it. I want to take time to pray this morning. I know we're going a little bit long. We're going to sing Shine, Jesus, Shine. Bob, my friend, asked me a question. He had seen my posts on Facebook, and he's like, April, is it okay if we come up to the altar and pray? We used to do that a lot at Aldersgate. We used to come to the altar and pray. And so I God, if you want to come and you want to kneel at the altar, you're welcome to do that. If you want to kneel in your seat, you're welcome to do that. But I just want to take some time and just pray that we would turn. And if we need to repent of any of those things, that we can do that. We're going to land in a good place to sing Shine, Jesus, Shine. But y'all, we just need to pray. But it starts with us. So if you want to come, Bob, you're welcome to come up. Anybody else want to come up to the altar, you're welcome to come. You can kneel in the seat. But I just want to take some time to pray. And as you come, I'm just going to start. Father, we just bless you and we honor you that you are the King of glory, that you are righteous and you are holy. And Lord, we just look at your word and we see, Lord, how we have fallen short. Lord, what our country, Lord, where we are as a nation. And Lord, we just come and we say, Lord, we can't fix it. Lord, we know that no man or woman can fix it. But Lord, only you can. And so, Lord, we come and we humble ourselves before you this morning. And we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come in these moments and intercede through us, God. Come, Holy Spirit. You're welcome to pray out loud if you'd like. If you've got something stirring in your heart, you're welcome to pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would forgive us as a country for trusting in people, for trusting in leaders to save us. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would forgive us for turning against you, for turning against your law and your word. Father, for having a form of godliness but denying the power of it. Father, we repent and we say we're sorry in Jesus' name. Father, I pray you would forgive us for just doing religious things, but not really having a heart for you. Father, forgive us, and we turn and we repent today in Jesus' name. Father, forgive us for being too busy, being so caught up in our lives and being thorny soil. Forgive us, God. We repent and we're sorry. Father, I pray you'd forgive us for trusting in our wealth and our military might, Lord, other than you. Father, forgive us in Jesus' name. Father, your word says that you oppose the proud, but you give grace to the humble. So, Lord, we're here this morning. Lord, we just come and we say we need you, that our nation needs you. And Lord, we yield ourselves to you once again. And we say, King of glory, come. And Lord, I thank you that you want to come through us. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And Lord, I just speak over this house. I speak over your people here that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living inside of them. And Lord, may you be strong through us. Lord, as we walk, Lord, I pray we would be so filled with Holy Spirit. Lord, as Peter walked and people just came and by his shadow they were healed. Lord, we want to be so filled with you, God, that we pray bold prayers. We want to be so filled with you, God. We want to see miracle signs and wonders for your glory, Jesus. We want to be so filled with you, God, people of faith. Lord, it's just about you living through us. So, Lord, we yield ourselves to you. Knowing that no man, no woman, no military God can save our country, but it's your church waking up. It's your church waking up to who you are, to your beauty, to your holiness. Wake us up, God, to what the power that is in us, the power for those of us who believe. Lord, I continue to pray in Jesus' name. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better. Enlighten the eyes of our heart that we may know the hope to which you called us, the riches of your inheritance in the saints, and the power, the dunamis, for those of us who believe, which is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus, we need you. So, Lord, we yield ourselves to you. Open our eyes, God. Truly, may your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Spirit is living in us. May he shine. And how is he going to do that, you all? He's going to do that through you. He's going to do it through you. So let's stand and sing, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Lord, I pray we would turn to you in Jesus' name. Amen.